We present the news quiz with your chairman, Barry Took.
To a new series of the News Quiz, coming to you this week, appropriately enough, from the Café Royal. We start with a cutting from the Times, read by Brian Perkins.
Some New Age travellers and hippies said yesterday that they will boycott the annual trek to Stonehenge because they're tired of being blamed for causing destruction. It's not worth the hassle. We don't want our homes busted up, said Vic, 23, who's currently living in a lay-by near Taunton.
Well, thank you, David Carter. Thank you, David Carter, for sending us that. Well, now let's meet the teams. Will you welcome first, on my right, Richard Ingrams and Ian Hislop. And facing them on my left, Alan Corran and Roy Hattersley. Before we start round one, here's an item from the Rutland Mercury, spotted by John Dale of Rutland.
See the bowmen of Rutland in action next weekend at the Rutland Agricultural Show, and why not have a go yourself? The Rutland Archers are always looking for new members and are currently targeting disabled people.
Richard, first question of a new series. How did a ham get into a pickle?
I think this is a neighbour of mine who's a retired bank manager near Abingdon. And he spent his evenings listening to other people's phone conversations. And he heard these two people talking to one another on the phone. I think it was John Major talking to Mr. Lamont, wasn't it?
Possibly.
Anyway, he said that things were very desperate and he was very unhappy. And what were they going to do about it? And could they get together again soon, preferably on Tuesday? Something like that.
Yes.
It's a rather revolting hobby, isn't it? Retired bank manager.
Yes.
Spending your evenings perving around in your garden, listening to satellite conversations of other people's private phone calls?
I should think he's MI5 myself.
Well, that question is open to conjecture. Absolutely right. The ham in question is radio ham Cyril Renan, although Nigel Havers did get a mention in the story. Cyril, the original listening bank manager, claims to be an admirer of the royal family and would never do anything to harm them, and that's presumably why he taped a private call and then gave it to the Sun newspaper for safekeeping, discreetly tucked away on their front page. Ian, your question. What's taking a nasty pounding under Norman rule?
God, they get harder, don't they, as the years go by? What's taking a pounding? Norman Lamont is staying firm. Every time he appears on television... Sorry, that's David Mellor staying firm. I am sorry. Very poor taste.
I knew that was going to come up sooner or later.
It's a pity it did.
Yes.
Come up, that is.
Yes.
No, leave it.
Yes, get on with it.
All right, this is...
We'll pick it up eventually, don't worry. Yes.
This is a story about Norman Lamont, who every time he goes on television, the pound goes down another point. Who says that we're not going to come out of the European monetary system and we're going to stay in there, and he's going to put interest rates up because that'll save the economy. Or
very
not. Bright man, Lamont, isn't he?
Well, he always looks so cheerful. That's what I like about him. Roy Hattersley, welcome to the programme. Which green has seen red? Is your question?
Well, this is the extraordinary Mrs. Sarah Parkin, who says she's leaving the Green Party because it's full of intrigue. This is the best thing I've heard about the Green Party. It's become really a part of British politics. She also said this evening that she left the Green Party because all the leaders think they're God. That's what politics is supposed to be about. The Green Party has come of age and Mrs. Parkin hasn't realised it.
Right. This is the Green Party whose chairperson, Sarah Parkin, resigned amid allegations of vicious infighting and falling membership. Although a spokesman said there was no such thing and he wished good riddance to the old bag. And so did the other member. Alan, guess what? Here's a piece of music for you.
Same thing happened long ago when man was in his prime. And what went on we only know from the snaps he took at the time. When Adam and Eve in their birthday suit decided to get wed. As Adam was about to taste the fruit, the man with the camera said, "Hold it, flashback, what a picture, what a picture, what a photograph. Poor old Eve, there were nothing on, face all red, did a fig leaf gone fat pants. Stamp your feet, bang it on the big bass drum. What a picture, what a picture, run to the pump, 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 pump."
Well, You know the answer before I ask you the question. No. The question is, what financial advice proved costly from a distance?
Lamont again.
Is Mr. Bryant, who is merely massaging her assets as any financial advisor would be expected to do? I think this is about Daniel Angeli, the Daily Mirror's property correspondent, who found this house in the south of France with an airbed and a couple of people rolling about on it. I've been away in that same neck of the woods, as readers will probably hear how brown my voice has become. I have to tell you that all that stuff was really very exciting, but very confusing for anybody who only picked it up in bits. There was a tow involved, but when I left, the tow involved belonged to David Meller. While I was in France, the tow transferred to one of the other couples. It's the Queen Mother and Des O'Connor or someone. But it's the great Ferguson, her financial advisor, the cook, the wife, the butcher's boy, and anybody else who happened to be passing these premises in Saint-Tropez where Daniel Angeli was hanging in the trees.
Quite right.
Unseen by the two detectives who were just sitting around watching Fergie at it.
Which would you rather
get paid for that?
I think it's terrible to do it in front of the detectives. I mean, those detectives have got to
I know, they're very
normal
innocent.
Lives. Yes. Children were okay, but it's very hard being to... You're an ordinary Essex detective. You don't see that kind of thing much.
But this
you
is
go
one...
home to your missus and you say, give us a tow. And she says, what are you talking about? You've been moving with the wrong people. Sorry.
It's all right. It's all right. I mean,
I thought
you'd
go
on
to protect you from saying anything, from ruining a political career.
Well, a bit late.
I thought the Duchess of York's behaviour was the one thing which would commend her to Barbara Cartland, because she didn't take any notice of the servants. And that's what the upper classes are supposed to do. They're supposed to pretend the servants aren't there and get on with it, and at last the Duchess of York...
They're not supposed to screw the servants. And...
But there's no allegation of that sort. It's about the detective.
Financial advisor. He's a servant. He's an accountant. He plays about with figures. Supposed to keep off him. He was down there to tell her whether the franc had rallied. And you don't get a lot of those to the pound, is what he's supposed to say.
That's enough. Get on.
Works for her.
Oh, it's worth coming all the way
back on the Alan Corran show.
It's very nice. It is. It's nice for us all. It's nice for us all. It's got the end of round one, as they always are on these occasions, for all. We start round two with a report from the yearbook of the British Red Cross.
The invasion of Kuwait tested the London branch response to an emergency. In August, a plan was rapidly drawn up whereby 130 volunteers and 10 ambulances were on standby to assist returned hostages in need of help at Heathrow Airport. In the event, this plan was not activated because most flights were to Gatwick.
Thank you, Brian O'Connor from Hampton, for that one. Richard... Your question again. What medicine didn't go down well, publicly speaking?
To do with medicine?
No, it's to do with schools. A place not adjacent to Marlborough.
Marlborough? Oh, I read this story.
It's about these girls being on the pill, isn't it?
That's right.
Well, it's all part of our new educational system, isn't it?
That's right.
Where young girls are taught lessons in the art of toe-sucking and all this kind of thing.
GCSE leg over.
Yes.
The results were very, very good this year.
I think they were. And a number of the girls did outstandingly well.
And the parents got very upset. Because they said, you put my daughter on the pill and then you expelled her for doing what you do when you're on the pill.
Serve them right for sending them to Marlborough in the first place.
That's enough social comment. It is all about Marlborough Public School, where the headmaster incurred the wrath of parents by letting pupils go on the pill, although many of the boys still have to make do with the traditional cold shower. The move came after two pupils were discovered semi-naked in a study bedroom, attempting to increase classroom numbers without taking sensible precautions, like locking the door or getting a note from matron.
Or being the same sex, which goes
absolutely
down better in public schools.
Well, that's blown the next joke. Thank God he's
happy
going
to
on holiday
apply.
Next week. He's got a future
I
in
believe,
journalism.
The late Sir Anthony Blunt was an old Marlboroughian.
What?
Was he on the pill?
Oh, yes.
Not
but
a
he
lot,
was,
I
he was
thought.
One of them. I mean, an old Marlborough. Yes, sorry, I just threw that in for this.
That's very good. We'll throw it out in the editing. Ian, your question now. Who is courting trouble in Manhattan?
This is Woody Allen.
Yep.
Woody Allen's suing for custody of two of his children.
Yeah.
I can't remember what they're called.
I'll tell you in a moment.
One of them's called Satchel, actually.
That's right.
It's rather silly to name your child after what he takes to school. And the other one's called Bird's Nest or Lark Song or Good Evening. One of them's actually called The News Quiz.
Good name.
Apparently Mia Farrow's a great fan.
Good heavens. I sat in front of Mia Farrow and Andre Previn during a performance of Hedda Gabler, and they talked throughout incessantly about spaghetti. Read into that what you will.
That's worth a bob or two. If you've got photographs, you could sell it to the sun.
You think I'm in the...
Oh, I think you're in the bank manager class. Yes.
It's the split between Woody Allen and his live-out lover, Mia Farrow, after the actress discovered he was dating someone young enough to be his own stepdaughter. Allen is suing Farrow for custody of their children, Moses, Dylan, and, as you so rightly say, Satchel, while she has charged the comedian with mistreating the youngsters, specifically lumbering them with names like Moses, Dylan, and Satchel. We pause briefly for a fine excuse reported in the Deeside Chronicle.
Joiner Mark Houston, who crashed into another car at Queen's Ferry, told police, "The traffic stopped, but I didn't."
Now, thanks to Roy Davis of Deeside for sending us that. And Roy, now, here's a piece of music for you. Green Party Marching Band. That was 2001 Sprach Kazustra.
Thus spoke Zarathustra, but not very distinctly.
Indeed, very distinctly. It's the Temple City Kazoo Orchestra. Now, your question is, Roy, quite a recent event. What should be saved for the nation to speak unto nation?
Oh, the BBC, a marvellous institution, which provides small sums for itinerant journalists and evening programmes. And there's the suggestion that the BBC might be incapacitated by government policy, which has come from none other than Sir David Attenborough, a man who spends all his time up to his waist in water, and therefore is entitled to have judgments on these matters.
Absolutely right. It's our very own BBC and the plea by Sir David Attenborough at the science conference at Southampton recently to preserve it from cost-cutting induced extinction.
What was all that buzzing about at the beginning of the question?
Nothing, we just put it into irritate. Alan, your question?
I like the idea of the BBC cost-cutting.
Yes.
Eldorado, 10 million. There's some costs that could be cut.
Ah, well.
All of them?
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Bunny, Fizz.
Oh, you know, you watch, do
Trish,
you? You're the one that watches
Dieter,
it.
Dieter, I love it. Sorry, I hate it.
You've heard about it from friends, no doubt.
Yeah.
Alan, your question now. Whose methods are said to be as much underhand as overarm?
I mean, this is about Alan Lamb. I mean, having been effectively thrashed during the summer by the Pakistanis, we've now discovered that Wacker Unison, Wasim Akram, are going to be tested in a wind tunnel. It's true. It's on the front page of the Telegraph. Because they have been accused by Alan Lamb of picking the seam, which seam bowlers have been doing since time immemorial, but not with the results that Wacker and Wasim have had.
I thought it was going to be a new ruling that Pakistan have to bowl underarm now. Give our boys a chance.
Yes.
Alan Lamb got paid £10,000 for writing that piece, I read.
Really?
I was glad to see he was attacked by Cyril Washbrook. Still with us.
Cyril Washbrook, yes. Still with us?
He's still with us, yes. 106, still with us.
106 not out. When the great umpire raises his finger for the last time.
Oh, sorry. Other allegations of unsportsmanlike behaviour include that Pakistan is putting 11 players on the field against our two, hurling objects at our batsmen, and not giving them as much time as they'd like to run up and down. Let me give you the scores at the end of the second round, which are still tied, 8-all. We start round three with a tale from the Telegraph.
Stockton Council sent in two bailiffs to collect 4p from a design engineer who made a mistake when writing his cheque for £204.08. The bailiffs said they would not leave until he'd given them two 2p coins. Mr. Robert Peterson, treasurer for Stockton Council, said if everybody got away with paying 4p less than they should, it would soon mount up.
Well, Brian's laughing. Won't you join him?
Whole audience nodding. Yeah, he's got a point. Those two do mount up.
Yes. They're all voting
yay. Was it a bailiff's night out?
Oh, dear me. Thank you, G. Appleby from Harrow, for sending us that. Richard, who was over the moon after 40,000 I do's?
I do's is weddings. Yes.
Yes. Moonies.
Moonies!
Moonies.
The Moonies. It's the Moonies.
No one can call him slow.
Right. Well, have they had another of their amazing mass weddings?
Yes.
Yes.
It was exactly the same number of people, 40,000, that rang up the Sun hotline to find out what was on the tape between the alleged princess and the alleged bloke.
I
think it was 40,000 Moonies just before they got married.
That's
rang
right.
up James Watsit to say, well, what's it found, like and is it worth it? And, you know.
And what do you do when your marriage
fails?
What
do you do when you marry?
You rang up James Gilby. Hello, James. It's awful here. Awful here.
Yes,
everyone's ghastly. Granny's awful. I'm going to throw myself downstairs.
Oh, my God, what a bloody business. Sounds absolutely desperate.
And the red head. Yeah. Oh.
When can I see you, Squidgy?
Oh, we can't see each other. We can't be silly.
Yeah, but we can. I mean, I'm absolutely desperate.
Don't be so wit.
Yeah. I thought I heard a beastly bank manager.
You've been listening to Pervert FM.
It all read to me like sort of brief encounter in a sort of literal way.
I've been a long, long way away, darling.
It's very tragic.
Have you?
Yes, I have. I've been listening to Rachmaninoff.
Oh, God.
Did you see the story about Rachmaninoff in the Telegraph?
No, yes. Oh, we'll come to that in a minute.
Oh, good. I'm glad I get that one.
Let me get this out of my system. It's about the Moonie mass wedding in Seoul, during which over 40,000 brides and grooms affirmed their marriage vows to the rousing strains of the old Unification Church favourite, I'm getting brainwashed in the morning. Many participants met their partners only hours before the ceremony, and many don't even share a common language. Ian, have a listen to this.
Kazoo band again.
I was going to say, like the damn kazoos. The question is, where was the tuna caught by the sea?
I know this one.
I had a feeling you did.
Well, they were doing the theme from Brief Encounter at the proms, not that Tchaikovsky you just played. And the Russians turned up with the orchestra, who were tuned to a higher pitch than the piano. So the concert was not the greatest success because... Isn't this right?
That's absolutely right, yeah.
so it got worse and worse as it got through.
It could be that this was all part of the changes on Radio 3. To make things more interesting.
This was the Radio 3 concert from the Albert Hall that had so much disharmony, listeners thought they'd tuned to the Test Match Special. Pianist Mikhail Rudy joined the St. Petersburg Philharmonic to perform Rachmaninoff's second piano concerto in C minor, D flat, and E sharp. And it sounded be awful. Roy, we come to your question again, and it's this. What's got eight legs, four wheels, and no husband?
Tell me.
Well, it's difficult. Yeah. I've got to start with the Sunbeam
Fergie.
Alpine.
How am I going to get... Fergie. We think it's Fergie.
It's not Fergie this time.
The dream ticket opposite.
Tell us
a man wanted a broken down Sunbeam Alpine to renovate.
Of course he
did. A Sunbeam Alpine arrived from America in bits. As this man was putting it together, a black widow spider leapt from the Sunbeam Alpine, which the man then hit with the paintbrush he was using to renovate one of the other parts.
If only this were on television,
this
you could
true.
See my expression of incredulity.
I would.
He makes this up as he goes.
Well, credulise your expression immediately, because it gets worse. He flattened the spider with a white paintbrush. When the school of tropical diseases and spiders arrived, they had to take the paint off the spider in order to identify it. Is there a word of a lie in this joke?
You're absolutely correct in every precise
detail.
There
we detail.
Are. Alan, you did so brilliantly with that one. Here's your own. Who cut the costa, the cast on the costa?
Oh, I get questions about black widow spiders in
Antarctica. Let him answer
he
this
gets
one.
Questions.
Let him answer
the
Eldorado. Let him answer the Eldorado.
No, I wouldn't dream of it. I wouldn't dream of it. No.
Let him answer the Eldorado one. Go on.
The dream ticket.
I have my pride.
I have my pride. What about triumphalism? You're supposed to hold my hand and lift it up and the balloons go up and all that. You're supposed to be pleased for both of us.
Tell him he's talking about Coronation Street and get the answer over with.
Well, it's about El Panorama, isn't it? This ghastly programme where people are being shoved off cliffs by Jonathan Powell and Verity Lambert. And there's only one person in it now. It's called Eldorado.
Just one
bloke comes on
still really
and says
bad.
It ain't half hot here. And can I have a Watney's? And then Neighbours comes on. Well, it's going down the tubes, this thing. I mean, it's cost millions of pounds, and it hasn't got the audience of the News Quiz. We're not even...
And that's in this room.
Yes.
Well, I think we've done our best to put that right tonight. Anyway,
yes, you
we?
Have. You've managed to shake that one.
Jolly pleased for Wogan. He must be turning cartwheels out there in Tableau.
They've sacked so many actors. Spanish tour operators are laying on charter flights to fly them out. In the Eldorado bar now, they daren't ask for anything with their drinks in case it's a P45. And the Marbella Labour Exchange has been renamed the In-Between Job Centre. And the scores at the end of the third round are Richard and Ian 11, but Alan and Roy in the lead with 12.
Oh, great, great.
Before we move on, here's a court report from the Scotsman.
Mr. Hayes pled guilty to causing an explosion at a house in Valley Gardens. He'd tried to gas himself by putting his head in an oven, not realising that natural gas is not toxic. Instead, he fell asleep. When he woke up, he lit a cigarette.
Well, thank you, Sheila Harvey of Edinburgh, for sending us that. Richard, whose snail's pace proved to be less than A1?
It's an oldie, yes, in his wheelchair.
Oldie?
He was an oldie, yes.
Oldie in his wheelchair.
And what was he doing?
Might even have been Bill Deeds, for all I know. He got onto the A1 in his wheelchair, didn't he?
His electric wheelchair, presumably.
Electric wheelchair. And he was doing about 5 miles an hour in the fast lane.
Eight.
And
which motorway was he doing 8 miles an hour on? Not one I've been on recently.
Yeah, I think it's...
The incident occurred after the puzzled pensioner took a wrong turning at the shops. It's easily done. 1 minute you're at the butcher's, the next you're on a slip road and a major dual carriageway. The old boy was said to be a little confused after his ordeal. He is yet to explain to his wife about the four blonde Scandinavian hitchhikers in the back. Roy, what barefaced cheek is souring East-West relations?
This is the refusal of the heroic ex-people democracies of Eastern Europe to allow people to bathe semi-naked. Is that right?
Absolutely so.
Absolutely extraordinary.
Yes, it could only be Germany's so-called underpants war, which has broken out between East German nudists and their more prudish Western countrymen. The authorities admit they are fighting a losing battle as, in traditional German tourist style, the nudists always ensure they're on the beach at the crack of dawn so that they can remove their towels before anyone else. Alan, what? Whose false impression proved to be an arresting performance?
I think it's a man called Wheatley.
You're absolutely right.
I think he's a dodgy copper.
Right.
He's an ex-marine.
Exactly so.
He's out there somewhere, so be careful what I say. But because his wife was a policewoman, he decided he wanted to be a policeman. And he was a policeman, a very successful one. And he did all sorts of arrests, and then they came and said, you can't do that anymore because you're not a policeman. And they arrested him. But I think they let him off with a caution. They would do that.
They would.
Fergie and Di dressed up as policewomen once. I leave you with that thought.
Now, before we reveal the final scores, let's see what cuttings the team have brought along. Mm. Richard, have you brought something jolly for us?
Well, it's quite jolly. It's to do with death.
Oh, good.
From Bristol. It says, Mr. Humphreys retired as managing director of his company in 1988. His funeral will take place at South Bristol Crematorium on Monday. He was not available for comment today.
Oh, well, that's cheered things up no end. Ian, what have you brought?
This was a cutting in the Daily Mail. And it said, a friend of Serena's said, David has talked of marriage. She feels she is still rather young, and he does have a long turn to page 3, column 1.
Well, there's a euphemism for you.
I haven't got the other page. I'm terribly sorry.
Awfully good. Wonderful. Roy, what have you brought?
It's from the Dorset Evening Echo, a newspaper that specialises in important stories about spiders in old motor cars. And it concerns the... concerns the honours list. An MBE was presented to Mrs. Ursula Ginger of Blandford for her services to the Dorset Preschool Playgroup and Major General Andrew Whitehead.
Alan, what have you brought?
Well, I have something in the Bolton Evening News, Barry.
Well, that's interesting.
Police were called to a karaoke night at Bolton's Diamond Horseshoe Club after a contestant doing the impression of Judy Garland threw his breasts at a heckler.
Anyway, thank you all, particularly our audience in this beautiful Café Royal. And let's look at the final scores, which are... Richard and Ian, 13, but Alan and Roy romped away with it this week with 17, the winners. Well done. Before we leave you, here's a cutting from the Yorkshire Post sent in by Michael Robinson of Huddersfield.
Grandmother Alice Clark dodged smoke and flames on her hands and knees when she went back inside her blazing home to answer the telephone. She believed it was the fire brigade calling back.
And with that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Richard Ingrams, Alan Corran, Ian Hislop and Roy Hattersley. The chairman was Barry Took and the news was read by me, Brian Perkins. The programme was written by Ian Pattinson and Robert Fraser Steele. The producer was Colin Swash.